Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, live in Los Angeles, this is The Herd. Joy Taylor is joining me. Tim Hardaway, whose son's now a Maverick, they're playing well. You know, it's funny, Joy, when I was watching the NBA as a kid, it was almost like genetically, if you had a big guy, you won. A lot of the centers were like Wilt Chamberlain, were flaky, they weren't the hardest workers, but if you had a 7-foot-1 guy who was good, you win a lot of games. The NBA now is like, who wants it more? Like, height's not a problem. Can you shoot? Seth Curry. Not Steph Curry. Seth Curry is a bigger problem than Joel Embiid. This league now is so talented. And if you live for basketball and you work on your game and you can shoot, nobody cares about your height. Dame Lillard's tiny. Nobody cares. It used to be 70s, 80s, 90s, best center dominates a conference. Well, you could have Rick Smitson be really dominant.
It was so much more physical, which is why a lot of old school people don't like this new style of play. But it's really just a lot more. And this isn't saying that, you know, old school basketball wasn't amazing. I loved it. But it's just more skill and finesse now.
We have 7-foot
but that
four.
Opens it up for so many more players.
Porzingis is 7'4". He's a slasher. He's not even the idea. Luka's a 6'8 point who's unstoppable. We always romanticize the past. I'm such a windshield guy. I'm not a rearview mirror guy. We used to, those Knicks-Pacers series. Of the 10 starters, 8 couldn't shoot. If Reggie Miller went to the bench, Indiana couldn't shoot. I mean, most of the legendary Knicks couldn't shoot a 15-footer. Everybody can shoot now. The whole 7-foot-4 guys are slashers who can hit threes.
And if you can't shoot in any capacity, people are terrified to have you on their squad.
So it's really fun. All right, here we go. Colin right, Colin wrong on a Monday. Fire away.
Where Colin was right.
I don't buy into Philly. Never have. I think you got to break up Embiid and Simmons. They're the first team out of the playoffs. They got swept. Blame whoever you want. I didn't like the Tobias Harris acquisition. I've just never bought into this. I didn't buy into the process. It did get them some players and picks. But we keep blaming the coach, but any relationship, if you're still going to therapy 8 years in, it ain't going to work. This thing just shouldn't be this hard. Simmons is hurt, and Embiid doesn't get along with him, and Simmons can't shoot. Break up the band, get a bunch of pieces, and start over.
Where Colin was wrong.
I still think the Clippers are the better team, but their defense is getting worked by Dallas. If you look at all the analytics, it looks like Clippers should win this series in about 5 games. Dallas is fun and feisty and can score. But I'll tell you, the Mavericks are getting penetration. They're getting tons of open looks. There's times Luka just looks too strong for anybody for the Clippers to guard. You know, Patrick Beverley has been gone for 3 games, but that's something, but it's not that much. Dallas's offense is consistently beating a Clippers defense, and I did not think that would be the case. I thought this would be, 117, 111, and the Mavericks would be getting low percentage shots and not getting penetration, and it's just been the opposite.
Where Colin was right.
Never bought into Jarrett Stidham. The other network, every analyst told you, Jarrett Stidham is the guy. And I'm like, I watched him in college. He's okay. I don't get it. If Bill Belichick watched Jarrett Stidham for a year and still wanted 43-year-old Tom Brady back, what does that tell you? He's had a poor camp. There's one story out today. He didn't get in good enough shape, so he's got a leg injury because he's overexerted himself. We don't know if that's true, but that's one report. In the end, though, it really hasn't been much of a quarterback competition. Cam Newton has dominated it. And all I'm saying is, I watched him in college. He's got something, decent arm, but I never bought into these reports that this was the future. He's a backup in the NFL, and that's what it looks like he'll be this year.
Where Colin was wrong.
I liked when the Ravens went and got Earl Thomas. He could still play. I think their secondary is unbelievable, but this thing backfired, and pretty quickly. Stories came out today that last year, multiple times, he was a headache. So I got to take a wrong on it, and he's not a victim here. He's had Pete Carroll and John Harbaugh, and he can't make either work at the end. So I got the Ravens as 16-0. This doesn't help my case. Lamar Jackson's a little tweaked as well, but that part I'm fine with.
Where Colin was right.
Listen, Russell Westbrook is talented and dynamic and fun. Valuable? Houston leads OKC 2-1. It should be 3-0 in the series. What's interesting is Houston's offensive efficiency rating in the regular season was 112. Their offensive efficiency rating in the bubble, in the playoffs, is 112. You can be great and popular and dynamic and athletic, and he's been a great supporter, and he played defense in the bubble. I just don't buy into the valuable thing. I think I've seen a lot of Russell Westbrooks in my years watching the NBA. Unbelievably gifted, a first ballot Hall of Famer, but doesn't necessarily make teammates better, and Houston's offense is fine without him.
Where Colin was wrong.
Kind of shocked how effective Dwight Howard has been for the Lakers this year. Rebounds, totally accepted his role, not looking for attention. When they bring him in, he's often the second best Laker off the bench. You get size, athleticism, rebounding, shot blocking, situational offense. LeBron likes him. They have a good chemistry on the court. And I always thought he was a little bit of an unfocused, a little juvenile at times, kind of underachieved for all his talent. He's been great here. He's one of the reasons the chemistry has been unbelievable. And he's become a fairly dependable bench player on a nightly basis. Good against Portland so far.
Where Colin was right.
Chris Middleton. 11 points a game, shooting 32%. 12 made buckets in the playoff series. 2 points last Thursday. Like, this is one of these, I don't get it. Like, this is why I think the Bucks are not going to win championships. I've said this. I think Giannis is amazing. They're probably this year the best team in the East, especially after the Celtics had an injury to Gordon Hayward. But Chris Middleton, this is the playoffs are truth serum. The real stars rise in the playoffs. Paul George, a little fool's gold here. Chris Middleton, a lot of fool's gold. Don't buy it.
Where Colin was wrong.
I've been open to spring football. It's not ideal, but I think you could have kids play in January, February, and then have them play in September. But Urban Meyer came on the show and said, nope, can't do it. It's not fair to the players. Nick Saban said it'd be JV football. The Big Ten this weekend said, you know, we're going to do spring football, but we're going to play indoors. Oh, boy. So every game's a road game for every team. I didn't think spring football would be great, but I thought, you know, if it's on television in January, February, March, I'll watch. It'll be cold weather for just the Big Ten. But increasingly, the top coaches are against it. And, I mean, if the Big Ten, who's for it, is saying we do think it's you have to play the games indoors. Okay, now that's like exceptions on the exception. Like if you were playing in the bubble in Orlando and you had to wear a mask as you played in the bubble, okay, then they'd just cancel the season. Okay, like if you're having to jerry-rig all this stuff and fewer games and now play indoors, then it's probably not going to work.
Where Colin was right.
Giannis today will mark his third early start of 4 playoff games. The NBA is telling you he's not the face of the league, and he's been around for 7 years, and he's been great for 4. He's a great kid. He's a terrific player. But I'm sorry, his documentary and his Instagram does not make him a face of the league. Zion is somebody the NBA has 3 times already moved the schedule around to get him on TV. The NBA is putting Giannis for the 3rd time in 4 games on 1 o'clock Eastern. Leagues will tell you and networks will tell you where the stars are. And you know where the stars are in the NBA? Playing at night. That's where the stars are in all sports. Playing regularly in prime time because that's where the ad dollars are better.
Where Colin was right.
The NBA draft lottery is a lot of fun, but it's useless. They do it to avoid tanking and to help smaller markets. And neither works. Because teams still tank in the smaller markets. Do you know the last 11 lottery winners? Cleveland 3 times, Minnesota twice, New Orleans twice, Phoenix, Washington, and Philly. And they're all a mess. I'll go back and say something I've always felt about the NBA lottery. let the players decide where they want to play. And you think it's crazy. But with a salary cap, they couldn't go to the great teams. They couldn't go to the Lakers. They couldn't go to the Clippers. Where are they going to fit them in Boston? If you let players select teams, many players would say, I want to go to the bad team because I want to make the most money. And open up their contracts, let them make more money. This will never happen, of course. But the NBA lottery, once again, we had a lousy franchise win the lottery again. And they'll be lousy next year as well and the year after. All right, calling right, calling wrong. Tim Hardaway's son's playing for the Mavs, playing well. He's a great former NBA player. A lot of years for the Miami Heat is right around the corner for us. Howie Long, Matt Mosley will join us. Some Cowboy stuff and some Maverick stuff. I contend a lot of the Mavericks series is just Luka. The kid's unbelievable. He's the best 21-year-old maybe ever. I mean, Michael Jordan wasn't this good in the NBA. Michael Jordan was still in college, I think, at that point. What was Michael Jordan, 22 years old, his first year in the NBA? Luka just turned 21. Can't stop him.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
This week on Thursday Night Baseball, Bryce Harper and the Phillies battle Juan Soto and the Nationals, or the A's battle the Rangers. The action begins at 6:30 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Check local listings for the game in your area.
A lot of baseball, NBA, you got hockey, we have real sports, NFL camps are opening, and right now three college football conferences, the Big 12, the ACC, and the SEC are all practices starting, getting underway. So here we go. We got real sports, and I'll say it again. I think the sports has been better than I thought. The NFL camps are opening up. They had a little scare yesterday with COVID positive tests, but instead it was a New Jersey clinic where they had false positives. So we're all moving in the right direction. Therapeutics are better. Doctors are smarter. We're doing less guessing right now, and the bubbles are not only work. I was sitting there watching it yesterday, watching the NBA with a friend, and I'm like, I'm just shocked how good the bubble is. Like, I'm shocked how good the quality is, the aesthetics, the play. Nobody's got home court advantage, so it's, for underdogs. Like Dallas, it's like, hey, we're not going on the road. We're all even up here. Let's bring in, via the Coward Global Satellite Network, Tim Hardaway Sr., former All-Star, 14 years, five All-NBA first teams. So his son is averaging 20 a game, shooting the lights out for Dallas. Luka's a phenomenal player. When is the first time, Tim, that your son told you, yeah, this Luka guy is really good? Like, did it take long to figure out how special he was?
Well, it didn't take long to see how special he was. But everybody got to understand, he's been playing professional basketball since he was 13 years old. He's been playing against grown folks since he was 13 years old. So this is nothing new to him. He just comes out here and plays his same way. He plays the same style each and every game, and he's effective with it. He finds his teammates. When he needs to take over the basketball game, he takes over the basketball game. But, I think not only is his team at all, I think the coaches are at all of how he plays each and every night and what he brings to the table and how he does and how he plays well each and every night and give his team a chance to win each and every night. I think that's surprising. Every night they have a chance to win if he's playing the game.
It's interesting with the Clippers. I look at their roster and their experience, and Tim, I think to myself, this should be about a five-game series. But they're really struggling. Dallas is getting – your son's getting open looks. They're getting a lot of penetration. Is it possible – like, when you look at the Clippers – you look at their roster, and I got players. I got Lou, and I got Paul, and I got Montrezl Harrell, and I got Kawhi. Why are they struggling, in your opinion?
Well, I think it's a lot of pressure on them. Kawhi, there's no pressure on him. He just comes out here and play the way he plays. But I think the other guys, as it mounts, the game goes on and on, and they keep missing shots, and Kawhi keep putting in shots. I think the pressure is on Paul George, on the twin, and Mo Williams. He's playing well because Mo Williams has been in this predicament many, many, many times. Just other players have to just step their game up. And I think that at this particular point, it's just mountain. Everything is mountain. And every time that the Dallas Mavericks be aggressive on offense, going to the hole, making things happen at the rim, making good passes, playing strong with the basketball, making open threes, making tough threes. I think that, you know, it just keeps mounting and mounting and mounting. And those guys start to get, you know, it gets tougher for them. You know, I agree with Doc Rivers, with Paul George. Everybody should, you know, he's a great ball player. The guy's going to figure it out. But I hope he don't figure it out this series.
I don't blame you. You know, we were talking earlier about LeBron James and Anthony Davis. They have worked together from day one. We were kind of surprised on their show. Their chemistry has been great. As you know, two stars in Philadelphia don't appear to get along. When you were in the NBA, did stars generally get along? Was it sometimes hard when you had like a LeBron and an AD and they're two of the top four players in the league? Are you surprised the Lakers' chemistry this year has been as good as it's been?
No, I am not surprised that the Lakers' chemistry is as good as it's been and is right now, because LeBron is that type of player. He's a leader on the court. He's a coach on the court. He helps everybody out that's on his team to understand and make sure they understand what they want to run, how they want to run it, who they looking for, you know, what they looking for in the offense. And then they don't. He tells them, don't worry about me. And when I need to turn it on, I'm going to turn it on, which he does. And when he turns it on, you know, the other team is at his mercy. So I'm not surprised at, you know, how they're playing and the chemistry that they're playing with. But, you know, going back to what you was talking about with the Philadelphia 76ers, I think you got two headstrong guys.
Yeah.
And they're young now. They're young. And they still trying to figure it out. And I think they will figure out. And I think that, you know, this year or this summer, you know, you just got to talk to them, ask them what they want. It's all about communication. Ask them what they want, what they looking for, what they need to do together, or when one is out and when one is, you know, in, you know, how the chemistry level is going to be. I don't think that, you know, it's a lot of pressure saying this is Joel Embiid's team or this is Simmons' team. No, it's both of their teams, all right? And the way they come out is to play together, play with a lot of confidence. They can easily put the team on their backs, you know, and go out there and play to win. But, you know, it just haven't happened yet. Me personally, I wouldn't trade neither one of them. I keep them and try to win with them, because you got two guys like that with the talents that they have. You got to make it work. So for your team.
You know, James Harden is one of the greatest scorers I've ever seen. And there is an argument to be made that as great a scorer as he is, his game is not necessarily always going to be helping other teammates or winning championships, but he's a great basketball player. He's very ball-centric. He's got to kind of control the offense. He and Westbrook, they sometimes work together, they sometimes don't. What do you make of Westbrook and Harden playing together? I'm not denying they're not fascinating. I don't know if it's championship level stuff, Tim. Your thoughts?
I think it's championship level stuff. I didn't think that Chris Paul and James Harden would work out, because they two dominant ball guys that need the ball in their hands to make things work for their team. But Russell Westbrook, he's a person that doesn't need the ball in his hands. He'd go out there and have a triple-double by rebounding the basketball on the offensive end and defensive end, playing great defense, playing good offense when he gets the ball, slashing to the hole, cutting to the hole, and, you know, and just doing his own thing when he needs to do his own thing out on the court. I just think that these two guys are perfect complements to each other, and they play well with each other. I just think that as it goes on, and as if Russell Westbrook is not healthy, I think that team is not going to be successful. I think they need Russell Westbrook to get healthy, to get back on the court, and to get back to where he is, aggressive out there on the court. People are scared of him when he comes downhill. He's going to the basket. He makes things happen. He can shoot his mid-range jump shot. So I think that these two guys complement each other, and I just think that they're missing Russell Westbrook. And once they get him, you know, they are a championship caliber team. But I'm going to tell you this. A lot of people upset with James Harden, how he plays. He dribble. But you know what? That's the way the offense is. And he gets people involved. He even though he dribbles a lot, he makes the right play. He gets the person the basketball. They can shoot a jump shot. They can dribble, drive. But you know, he's right up there with the best guys that carries teams, that scores the basketball, and that makes that offense run. So I commend him each and every night, because to what he does, you got to be in phenomenal shape to go out there and to play the way he does each and every night and to give 35, 40 points, 50 points a game. You got to be in phenomenal shape to do that, and I commend him for that.
Finally, Luka's 21. I don't think I've ever seen a 21-year-old who's as good an offensive player. So go back to – now, LeBron was a greater physical specimen. He was faster, a better defender. But go back and look at LeBron at 21 and Luka at 21. Are you shocked by how good Luka is? Does he compare to LeBron at 21?
Of course he compares to LeBron at 21. I tell you this, like I said before, Luka's been playing against grown men and in pro since he was 13 years old. And – only this right here only helps him to try to understand, or he already understands how to get to the rim, when to make the, you know, the pass, how to make the pass, how to, you know, get his teammates involved and how to take over a game. I think LeBron knew how to do that, but at that particular point, you know, he was still coming out of high school.
Right.
You know, he was coming out of high school right into the NBA, and you had NBA guys that, look, man, you got to pass me the ball. Even though I know you're the guy that we going to take us to the promised land, you know, I'm still open. I'm still here. You know, he still had to run a team and do other things. But Luka is a guy that when he goes out there and play and the things that he do with the Euro step, getting to the rim, creating fouls. Only thing he got to do is make some foul shots. Then, you know, they wouldn't even be in that predicament of going to overtime.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's another story. But, you know, just the things that he does out there, and he's a triple-double walking around each and every game. I mean, I look at the game differently than a lot of people. I look at how he's always around the basketball, you know, rebounding the basketball, tipping it out, has his hands in the passing lane. You know, he just has a knack for the basketball, and that shows you that he studies the game. He understands what he needs to do to take his team to that next level.
Tim Hardaway Sr., NBA great. Good seeing you. Glad you're well. He's I'm not going to give his location, but he's not far from where my wife grew up. It's a beautiful part of America, and it's good seeing you, man. Thanks. Congrats to your son.
Nice seeing you too. Thank you very much. Continued success, and everybody stay safe.
Thanks, Tim Hardaway Sr. But it is amazing about Luka, his point. Luka was 13 playing against, like, European men. Just think about it. It sounds crazy to say this. LeBron came out of high school and then played the Sacramento Kings and dropped 30. I mean, it's just insane. You could never do that as good as Bryce Harper or Mike Trout, as good as Lamar Jackson is, as good as Patrick Kane was with the Blackhawks. Literally, LeBron walked out of high school, and you could not stop him in the NBA, and he was 18. I mean, that's basketball is one of those sports. You either have it or you don't. You can identify it.
You can see it early.
You can identify it at 12, 13 years old, and it is remarkable. As good as Luka is, he was in the European leagues as a 15, 16-year-old kid playing against men.
And that really speaks to the physical nature of Luka and LeBron's game, because – we see it all the time. Rookies come into the NBA and we're like, you're a kid.
You don't look like
and then the next year they have a completely different body because they're still growing.
Luka looks like a man.
Yeah.
He's thick. He bounces off like Kawhi Leonard. Bounces off him. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line News.
Well, Lamar Jackson missed two training camp practices this weekend with what is being reported as a groin injury. John Harbaugh would only say it was a soft tissue injury, and Lamar was just being held out to be safe. RG3 has been obviously taking snaps in place of Lamar Jackson.
Well, they have Jalen Hurts.
He did return to the field.
Well, they have, who has Jalen Hurts? No. It's Eagles, my bad.
Yeah.
I got all excited. Sorry.
he did return to the field this morning with the team, and Harbaugh said he looked good. He was not playing around with any of the media's questions about Lamar Jackson's injury either, but I don't think it's anything to panic about. There's always going to be a little tweak here and there in camps, and obviously they've been in a different situation leading up to these camps, so I don't think it's anything to go crazy about.
What is interesting is we're going to go from practice to games. So there's going to be no preseason. So what I am interested in the first 2 weeks, do we have a lot of injuries? I mean, usually you have, you know, even a veteran in the NFL gets at least like 60 to 70 in-game snaps in the preseason. There's none.
Then having no preseason is great from the fans' perspective, right? Because we don't.
It's a garbage product.
Ticket holder, you've got to pay for those. Nobody really goes. It's hard to watch anything besides the third preseason game and the first one for a quarter. But I do think there's something to it because it has been routine for NFL vets to be a part for that to be a process like leading into the season. Hopefully there's no major injuries. There's injuries every year,
well,
right?
You can't
so it's
even
like
do...
it's hard to evaluate if that's going to be a product of not having a preseason or if that's just what would happen.
Can you even have scrimmages anymore? You can't even have.
Well, they have. I mean, inter squad
stuff.
Yeah,
but it used to be you'd have preseason OTAs. You'd get inter squad. You'd get multiple team scrimmages. Like all that stuff's done.
Well, everyone just talks about the calluses that you have to build up in camp. So I don't know if they're going to have more intense scrimmages in camp. Like they're going to do something to. I just think that the first couple weeks, let's be in evaluation mode and not panic or, put too much into anything that happens the first couple weeks. This is an unprecedented season. So Donovan Mitchell continues to be the difference maker for the Jazz in this series against the Nuggets.
Surprising series.
Well, I thought this would be a good series. They're pretty evenly matched, but I was leaning towards the Jazz at the beginning of the series anyway. He scored 51 points in game four, 18 of them in the fourth quarter, and led the Jazz to a 129-127 win and a 3-1 series lead. It's his second 50-point game in the playoffs this year, which makes him the fourth player in NBA history to have multiple 50-point games in a single postseason.
This has been a very good bubble for Dame, Booker, and Donovan. Young score first guards have done. I mean, I don't know what it is, but this has been a great bubble for a lot of the young scorers.
Well, we're not really talking about it because they lost the game, but Jamal Murray also had 50 points, which is the most ever by a Denver player in a postseason game. This was the first game in NBA postseason history that opposing players each scored at least 50 points. So, a lot of scoring going on in that series. It's been a fun series, though, really close games. I think the Jazz are going to end up winning it. Obviously, they're up 3-1 now. But, again, just two really fun young teams that are, a year or two away from being contenders and have dynamic offensive pieces that are going to be fun to watch moving forward. So the other sweep that we're not talking much about because it was, the Nets, the Raptors swept the Nets, dominant in the first round of the playoffs, won game four, 150-122.
Fred VanVleet, Pascal Siakam are now like stars. Like they've taken massive upgrades. VanVleet's like a different, totally different player than last year.
Well,
totally
when you
different
have
player.
A system that's built to develop players that you have there, that's how it goes. They did, however, lose Kyle Lowry in the first quarter yesterday after he turned his ankle. He tried to play through the pain, but ended up leaving just 9 minutes into the game.
Oh, yeah, I saw
today,
that,
the team announced that Lowry was diagnosed with a left ankle sprain, and his status will be updated at a later time.
They have depth. They can actually get away with a few games.
They don't know when he's going to come back. Now, they have 3 days, so they don't start the series against the Celtics until Thursday, so that's good news for the Raptors, but huge loss. I mean, he's the leader of that franchise, so The Raptors bench, though, scored 100 points in game four, setting an NBA record. So, yeah, definitely, definitely some depth there in the bench. Now, again, they were playing the Nets, who, you know, had a great bubble. Very impressive.
Yeah.
I think they've taken massive steps forward despite the situation this year. But it's going to be a different situation against the Celtics if they don't have Kyle Lowry back. Like, I think that the Raptors win that series if they have Kyle Lowry. If he's out for three games, I don't know.
Good stuff, Joy, with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Matt Mosley's a columnist in Dallas. He's got a very popular podcast. He's got the latest on the Cowboys and the shockingly stubborn Dallas Mavericks. That is coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Tackle your do-it-yourself projects. I did. Bar cart at home. Thanks to Lowe's. Go to Lowe's.com. Transformations. Go to Lowe's Goals. Give us an update on how you're doing. Cowboys camp is rolling right now. There's a lot of talk about Earl Thomas, the safety, who's been jettisoned, voted out by the players after a altercation with a backup safety this week. And joining us, Matt Mosley, a Cowboy insider, a columnist, covered the Cowboys for 17 years, and he is joining us now live. Also co-host of the Doom Day podcast with my buddy Ed Werder. So let's talk Earl Thomas. That's the big rumor. Everybody's hot on that. Cowboys haven't had great safety in years. Matt, do you buy the Earl Thomas Cowboy talk?
Well, I buy it. I think, Colin, they are looking into it. But as they came under the radar on this Everson Griffin, they would do that with him. But I do not know exactly what's going on with this guy. I think even the Cowboys, and they will take on troubled players. I mean, they almost seem to prefer it at times. But and they need safety. By the way, Clinton Dix has not blown the doors off of this training camp. So, but for right now, I think even the Cowboys have been given pause about what's going on with this former University of Texas great.
So there's a story that Mike McCarthy is not calling plays. And there was so much criticism about play calling last year. Are you even the slightest bit surprised by that? What did you make of that?
Thought he was brought here to call plays. I think it's the one thing Jerry kind of put on him and Steven and said, let the boy wonder continue. Now, we don't know. We still don't. Boy, Kellen Moore has his fans. I don't know. And I'm surprised McCarthy embraced this. I think he misses it. This is one to watch. If they have some issues early in this season, this guy's going to yank the play calling duties back so fast. He will not wait and like, oh, let's go through some of these growing pains. This is what the man does. When you love carrying that laminated chart in your hand, you want to call out plays. So anytime I hear coaches talking about, well, this allows me to be more with the defense, that's a bunch of bull. Does the Rams coach spend a whole bunch of time with the defense?
Not really. No, it's Kyle Shanahan likes to call plays. So Gerald McCoy, who's on our show about 3 months ago, he's just a world-class dude, he gets hurt. Now, I read your columns and I read people and go, Dallas is fine. Defense is fine, but we don't know what you're getting from Aldon Smith. How has his camp been? Gerald McCoy feels like a loss to me, does he not?
Feels like a loss. I really do. I think he's brought leadership. I thought he brought depth. I'm not buying this Tristan Hill. I think they need more there. And the Aldon Smith, I mean, it's a really nice story. I want to see him do well. He's been incredible in training camp, but let's see if he can get through a season. Now, strength-wise, MMA training, I know you do a lot of that in L.A. I mean, the man apparently was pulling all the ropes out of the walls. I mean, can you build a defensive line around a bunch of 30-year-old players? The Cowboys are trying. Are they talented players? You bet. But other than Lawrence, you do have a lot of age. We rarely see great teams build great defenses around aging veterans.
Yeah. You know, Dak got his one-year contract. Quarterbacks don't like franchise tag stuff. I get it. I don't think anybody wants a franchise tag if you're a quarterback in the NFL. But he's always been great in the leadership stuff. He says the right stuff. Do you believe there is just a tad bit of bitterness for Dak there?
Absolutely. I think he feels it. I don't think he can help but feel that. But I think he's going to lean into this thing the right way. I think it will drive him. Will they ever get a long-term deal done? I don't know. But I think in the short term, this is actually going to drive him. And I think there is some anger there. I also think there's a little bit of hurt there. But it's nothing that's prevented him from using that new backyard football field that he has. Colin, I know you've heard about this gorgeous field over there. May play some high school games there this year.
Okay, let's shift to basketball because you cover the Mavs as well. Go back to Dirk Nowitzki developed into a star. Luka is a star now. Talk about kind of the transformation of him, the franchise, and what you make of this series.
Unbelievable. I think whether they win the series or not, they're going to have a parade for what happened yesterday. You know, during the pandemic, boy, this gave everybody something to hold on to. Look at that step back. You can't put Reggie Jackson out there guarding him. What a laughable deal. And he called game. He's got – Dirk did not have this much confidence. Maybe year three or four, but even when you got to 2006, seven, Dirk was in some ways still getting punked by certain players. Now, that ended. And he won a championship. But this guy, and by the way, that Montrezl Harrell stuff never fazed him. You know, the rest of the world's like, oh, my gosh, how will he ever recover from this? I can't believe he said that. This kid does not care, and he doesn't care about all his records. Every day we, oh, Wilt did this. Oscar, the big O. I mean, you think he knows who the big O is? I mean, I'm sure.
No. It is interesting. You know, a lot of teams, there was a team that traded him and moved up. If you go to – Dallas is a football town, but if I said to you, how big is Luka today in the pantheon of all these, you know, stars in the last 10 years, it feels like he has become like the it guy more than a Zeke or a Dak.
I think he may have – he may be right there. It's hard to ever get past the quarterback. But where he sits right now, I don't think anybody – they got some really good hockey players here, but nothing is comparing to Luka. He's gotten to where Dirk was like year six or seven, and he's already there. And where does he go from here? I mean, you average 28, 29 in the bubble. I mean, you know, this is unbelievable what we're seeing. And my man Donovan Mitchell doing it as well, Spida Mitchell, some of these young players who are sort of taking that next step. And I think the bubble – is helping Luka, by the way. I think kind of that calming, there's just, you know, the virtual fans there. What a way to have this huge coming out party. He loves the spotlight. Don't get me wrong. It's not that he doesn't like the fans, and he'd love to put it in the Clippers' face, but I think he sort of enjoys this sort of atmosphere. So you put a superstar in kind of, and he brings his own energy, and he energizes, and he's lifting his teammates. That's the big deal. Did we think Trey Burke was some kind of great signing? You may have had that, Colin. I did not. And the guy scored 25 last night. I mean, he's a monster. He's been better than Paul George in this series. And that's a whole other story. You talk about some shrinkage, major shrinkage going on with Paul George, and that's amazing. And they could end up losing this series now, and who would have thought that?
Matt Mosley, a columnist, Dallas News. Good seeing you, buddy. Rocking in your chair. You're just handling this COVID very well. Very proud of you. Good talking to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Hope you like my lighting today.
Yeah, we'd really liked it. It was exceptional. Okay. It was exceptional lighting. You know, it is interesting about the Paul George story. So you generally think as an NBA fan, well, my first two stars, they'll be good. That, you know, that's what we generally think. I don't have to worry about, like, you know, Paul George and Kawhi. We were doing a rundown this morning. Anthony Davis was great, by the way, the other game against the Blazers. He was unbelievable in the fourth, dagger. And that's really a big thing. Because our perception is the first two stars in the playoffs always rise. Look at what is happening in the bubble for the number two guy. Paul George, this is the worst he's played in years. CJ McCollum has a broken back. Chris Middleton's been awful. Porzingis got ejected, then hurt. Ben Simmons hurt. Westbrook hurt. These teams cannot depend on their number two guy. And so when Anthony Davis comes out against Portland and totally flourishes in the second half and primarily the fourth quarter, it's a real thing. You know, the Lakers, and he really was the go-to guy. They didn't have an answer for him. And the Lakers were just bigger than Portland. I had said I thought Portland would beat him. But then I watched Portland in the bubble, and I watched them play three straight games. And my takeaway was they look shot. They're bad defensively when they're energized. They're awful defensively when they're not. And there are limitations. If Dame is not on fire and he disappears, you know, it's not a terribly dynamic offense. Melo's been nice, but he can't carry you. Nurkic is nice, but he's not going to carry you. CJ McCollum is good, but he's not going to carry you. But Anthony Davis has been the best number two in the bubble. And that's a thing, because there's been a lot of bad number twos. And I think Matt brings up a great point. For these young players who historically have struggled in the playoffs, it's a little big, and they're on the road, and there's no fans. And so for these young players, this is AAU. This is like a small gym. And maybe that's why the veteran players don't feel as energized. They love the crowd. And the young guys don't feel as intimidated. I mean, this has been the young guy bubble. Unbelievable play from young guys. M-Drive, check it out. MDriveForMen.com, the only supplement built for men with Drive. Check it out. MDriveForMen.com.